Good morning, everyone. Put this in your coffee as you get ready for work if you're on your way to work. 819. That's the billion-dollar number, $819 billion in the stimulus package that passed the House last night without a single Republican vote. More about that in a moment. Who gets what in this bill and who's really expecting something to go to their district? That's three slices of a very important piece of legislation that now goes on to the Senate. And we're going to handle all three slices with three guests. Nate Silva joins us. He's the founder of 538.com from Chicago. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning.
Greg Ipp is the U.S. economics editor of The Economist. He joins us from Washington. Greg, thanks for being here.
Good morning.
And Congressman Vernon Ehlers of Michigan's 3rd Congressional District, including Grand Rapids, where I went to high school. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
First, Nate, let's begin with you. Who voted for? Who voted against? How does the politics break down on this bill? Looks pretty grim for bipartisanship this morning.
Yeah, I mean, on the Republican side, it's pretty easy to analyze where you had every single vote being against it. I mean, I think this was a surprise. I know people expected not very many votes, maybe a dozen or so, but to have, you know, unanimity was surprising. On the Democratic side, you had, 12 votes against it, mostly blue dogs, a few kind of freshman congressmen. And these votes you might expect to be against the bill for the most part, mostly from the South.
How much of a risk do you think these legislators are taking by sort of going all in and stepping away from this bill?
Well, I mean, we might see different behavior from the Senate Republicans, I think. But I think there is a risk, especially in every single vote being against it, where Obama had met with the leadership, I think, two or three times, and that's kind of a big story. I mean, the headlines aren't terribly good, where the headlines kind of say, well, Obama was trying to be kind of the adult in the room, so to speak, and the Republicans kind of show them the back of their hand. I think I understand the vote against it, but I think to have some votes would, instead of, you know, unanimous opposition, might have looked a little bit better as far as the optics of everything go.
Well, the optics and the politics. Nate Silver, thanks for joining us, the founder of 538.com. There's the political rundown on this bill, a game of chicken, it would appear, between the Democrats and the Republicans. Who's going to blink? Will the bill change on its way to the Senate, or will Republicans get on board? That remains to be seen. But Greg Ipp, U.S. economics editor of The Economist, who gets what in this bill? What's the proportionality of tax cuts and actual spending on projects?
On the basic surface, it looks like a little over half is for spending, a little under half for tax cuts. That's not quite exactly how it works out, because some of the tax cuts are actually tax credits. In other words, they're refundable amounts of money that will go to people who actually wouldn't have earned enough to have paid taxes that year. And the way it works in Congress, they can call those tax cuts, but they're actually a payment. And when you add that in, most of it's towards spending, and the biggest chunk of that is the so-called Making Work Pay Credit, about $145 billion over 2 years, which is essentially designed to be an offset for the payroll tax that a lot of workers pay towards Medicare and Social Security. And that will have one of the fastest and most immediate impacts on economic growth.
Making Work Pay Program, how does that work? If I'm looking at my paycheck or my W-2 form, what's that going to do for me?
Essentially, what happens is that if you, round numbers, earn less than $200,000, then a single worker would be eligible up to a $500 a year tax credit, and a couple up to $1,000 a year towards the payroll tax that you pay towards your Social Security and Medicare. It'll phase out for higher income workers. It's designed to assist people who are lower on the income scale and more likely to spend the money. And it'll take effect by a reduction in the withholding on your paycheck.
A lot of Republicans were making a considerable amount of noise about money going to government programs which can't possibly work, won't stimulate the economy. What government programs are going to benefit, and what would be the stimulative argument that these particular programs are going to have?
Probably the most important, the one that I think concerns Republicans the most, is the expansion in the federal share of Medicaid funding. That will be about $87 billion over 2 years. Medicaid is a shared program by the states and the federal government, but because many states are very strapped for money right now, they're forced to reduce their expenditures on Medicaid, and which would bring about a reduction in the federal portion as well, all else equal.
So even though it's a Medicaid bill, it's actually a revenue-sharing provision that bails out the states.
It does. And it will have some help in the sense that the states, in order to have maintained their Medicare spending, might have had to cut something else, for example, road maintenance or teachers, and that will make it less urgent to do so. So it will have that stimulative impact. But there's no question it's not the traditional stimulus in the sense of bricks and mortar that we usually think about in terms of government assistance to boosting economic growth.
Well, Greg Ip, thanks for joining us, U.S. Economics. Bill, thanks for helping us to see the proportionality there. He's the U.S. economics editor of The Economist. He joined us from Washington. Thanks, Greg. And now,
sure.
Congressman Vernon Ehlers of Michigan's 3rd District, what are you telling your constituents this morning about what the House passed?
Well, obviously, the bill was not something that the Republicans felt they could vote for. Part of the difficulty was we were anxious to vote for a good bill. We were anxious to work on the good bill. And the Democrats are flush with power now after gaining more seats in the last election and saw no need to accommodate us or talk to us or compromise with us in any way.
All right. Well, two questions. What's the accommodation? What couple of lines, many pages in the bill would change to get your vote?
Well, part of it is the immensity of it. When it started out, we were very much in favor of it. We thought virtually all the money was going to go, was essentially aimed at trying to get out of the recession, trying to get people back to work, and so forth. And when you analyze this, we're spending immense amount of money for many things that are not in that category. The money spent is equivalent to roughly $200,000 for every job created. And that's not a particularly good price for job creation. But in addition to that, it turned into a wish list for the Democrats. All their favorite projects that they wanted to fund for a long time, they threw money into the pot for that, too.
What about your district? Isn't there a chance that, I-131 is going to, US-131 would get repaved, or they might straighten out some of the curves there in downtown Grand Rapids that caused so many safety problems on the roads?
Actually, the curve has been straightened out a few years ago.
Yeah, I got to come back and visit my relatives, don't I?
Yes, you should. But at any rate, when you look at the road construction, we thought there'd be quite a bit of that. There's just not that much money in there, in the neighborhood of $60, $70 billion for construction projects of various sorts. And a lot of money went to other things that that were not related to creating jobs. And that's I was surprised that the Republicans were unanimous in rejecting it. I knew there was strong feeling against the process and the content of the bill, but I expected some Republicans would vote for it. I was also surprised that there were a reasonable number of Democrats who voted against it. So clearly, it's a work in progress. We are waiting to see what the Senate does on it. I think they will probably come up with a much more reasonable bill. And so we will get a second crack at it. It's not that this is the first and only bill. This is the beginning salvo, and we expressed our opposition to it.
What do you make of the argument that Nate Silver made right a few minutes ago, suggesting that the way Barack Obama is acting here, is sort of reaching a hand across the aisle, looks, in his words, like the adult in the room, and that the Republicans sort of standing back and saying, I'm not going to vote for this, maybe looks a little less than adult? What was your reaction to that?
Well, I don't think that's a proper analysis. First of all, he hasn't really reached out other than coming to meet with us, in which he answered questions, but it was not a work session, not an attempt to come up with a compromise or something that we could agree on. He's basically saying, this is a good bill. I want you to vote for it. And as you know, in politics, that doesn't work. You have to take into account the views of the people. But the cost of it was really what bothered a lot of the Republicans. For example, the total cost comes to something like $2,700 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. And spending $200,000 for every job created is, it seems a bit excessive.
Well, Congressman, before we go, Bill Clinton, when he was having such a difficulty with Congress, his approach was basically to adopt the program of the Republicans and essentially make it his. Couldn't that be your strategy here, to basically say, yeah, this was all our idea, we're voting for it?
No, because it wasn't our idea. It was pretty clear it wasn't our idea.
Well, it wasn't Clinton's idea either, so.
Yeah, but it's basically all just they put together a huge wish list, and that's what came out of the Appropriations Committee. That's what came to the floor. And it was just no serious attempt at all at including the Republicans, negotiating with Republicans on it. And I think their attitude is they're just going to ram this through the way they want it, show their folks back home that they did, and then we'll do the serious negotiating after the Senate acts.
Well, they've got this shot. Congressman Vern Ehlers of Michigan's 3rd District looking for a second crack at the stimulus bill. Thanks for joining us, Congressman.
I think there'll be probably 4 or 5 cracks at it.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.